Imagine you're watching a live security camera feed of an empty, quiet hallway.
Right, just a normal day.
Yeah, everything looks perfectly normal. You're completely unaware that a team of thieves has actually spliced that camera feed.
Oh, like a classic movie trope.
Exactly. They're looping old footage to hide the fact that they are, like, in this very moment, completely emptying your vault.
And no one sees a thing.
Right. And that isn't just a discarded script from some Hollywood heist movie. That is exactly what sophisticated threat actors are doing to enterprise network routers right now.
It really is.
So welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily.
Glad to be here for this one.
We are diving straight into a concise, high-signal cybersecurity briefing today, and we're focused heavily on defender actions.
Absolutely essential right now.
Yeah, think of this deep dive as your essential toolkit. If you are listening to this, you are likely the one standing on the wall, and you need to understand exactly how attackers are bypassing modern defenses.
And more importantly, what actions you have to take right now to stop them.
Exactly. So today, we're analyzing a pretty dense stack of incident reports and vulnerability disclosures. We are pulling intelligence from Cygnia, Mandiant, Microsoft, Huntress, Watchtower, and Papercut.
And looking across all of those sources today, I mean, there is a chilling, unifying pattern here.
Yeah.
The threat actors we're tracking, they're no longer satisfied with just breaking into a network and, tiptoeing past the
They
alarms.
want more control.
Exactly. They're fundamentally altering the environment itself. They're taking your trusted tools, your administrative terminals, and your core security logs and weaponizing them.
So the network actively lies to you.
It absolutely lies to you. They are hiding in plain sight by subverting the very systems you rely on for truth.
Man, let's start right at the network edge, because that idea of the network lying to you is on full display with this China Nexus espionage group called FireAnt.
Right, FireAnt.
If we rewind to July of 2025, FireAnt was mostly known for exploiting VMware environments, things like ESSI and vCenter.
Yeah, mostly virtualization stuff.
Exactly. But looking at this new intelligence, here in 2026, their playbook has massively expanded. They are now actively hijacking Cisco IOS, XR routers, Linux management hosts, and TKS servers.
Which is a huge deal.
It is. And for anyone who doesn't live in the networking closet every day, a TKS server is basically the ultimate gatekeeper. It handles the authentication and access control for your network administrators.
Right, so if an attacker owns that, they control who gets to manage the core infrastructure.
Exactly.
And moving from the virtualization layer directly into the hardware infrastructure layer, I mean, that is a massive escalation.
It really changes the game.
It does. They're embedding themselves in the devices used to route, authenticate, and manage high-value networks. Cygnia's incident responders discovered that FireAnt was turning compromised Cisco routers into dedicated collection platforms.
Just sitting there soaking up data.
Yeah, sitting silently on the network edge, capturing traffic and harvesting credentials as they just flowed by. But the truly alarming part is how they manage their operational security. We rely entirely on system logs to reconstruct attacks, right?
Right, to spot the anomalies.
FireAnt knows that. They know logging is the lifeblood of a security operations center. So they embedded a modified system library directly into the router's control plane.
Wait, into the control plane.
Right into it. This malicious library intercepted every single outgoing log message before it could be sent to the defender's dashboard.
Unbelievable.
It checked the text of the log for one specific string, just the word health.
Okay, so the library is acting like a bouncer at the door of the router's logging facility.
A very strict bouncer.
Yeah, if the log message doesn't contain the word health, it just gets dropped entirely.
Dropped, suppressed, and deleted. The router was effectively gagged by the attackers.
That's insane.
It would only forward a log to the centralized server if that exact string was present. So think about what that looks like to a defender staring at a monitoring screen.
Everything looks fine.
Exactly. The dashboard shows the router checking in, the heartbeat is green, it looks completely healthy, but all the critical telemetry, the configuration changes, unauthorized access alerts, it all just vanishes into thin air.
So the system tells you everything is fine while the attacker builds a home inside it.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
It really is.
Yeah.
You don't even know you're blind. And reading further into the Cygnia report, they didn't just suppress the logs going to the central server.
No, they went further.
They altered the command line interface on the router itself. Like, if an administrator physically logged into that compromised router to inspect it, the device would lie right to their face.
Straight up lie to them.
Yeah, FireAnt manipulated the command execution path. So anytime an admin typed a display command, like asking to see the running configuration, the router would secretly append an exclude filter in the background.
Right, using the pipe exclude command.
Exactly. It would silently scrub any lines of text containing the attacker's IP addresses or hidden tunnels before printing the output to the admin screen.
The router's operating system becomes an active participant in the deception. The system is literally lying to the people managing it.
Which begs the question of how defenders ever caught them in the first place.
Right. If the logs are suppressed and the command line is filtering out the evidence, you need a different thread to pull.
So what did they find?
Well, for Signia's responders, the breakthrough came down to spotting a structural anomaly that the attackers just couldn't completely erase.
Okay.
They found a generic routing encapsulation tunnel, or a GRE tunnel, running on a Cisco IOS XR router.
Let's break that down for a second, just so everyone is on the same page. A GRE tunnel essentially creates a private encapsulated pipe between two points on a network, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And it's often used to route traffic securely between different sites. So finding one isn't inherently malicious, but the context of this specific tunnel was completely wrong.
The context was the smoking gun here. This specific GRE tunnel was running in the device's active memory, but there was absolutely no running configuration for it. And even better, zero commit history to explain how or when it was created. In Cisco environments, the commit history is sacred.
It's the ledger of every change ever made to that device.
Exactly. So finding an active tunnel with a blank entry in the ledger, that is a massive red flag.
It's basically a ghost tunnel. It exists, it's moving traffic,
right,
but there is no paper trail of its creation anywhere.
Yep.
And when defenders finally traced the destination of that ghost tunnel, it led them straight to a legacy Linux system sitting inside the network.
Which they were using as a staging ground.
Right. FireAnt was using that Linux box to run repeated connection attempts and port probing against connected networks. They were looking for SSH, HTTP, SMB, and RDP access. They were mapping the internal environment.
And you know, Signia noted something pretty profound in their analysis of this behavior.
What was that?
They stated, when a threat actor controls routers, they do not only gain reach, they gain perspective.
Wow. They aren't just traversing the network. They have a god's eye view of the traffic moving through trusted paths.
Exactly.
Before we move on, though, we need to clarify the attribution here, because it's really important for threat intel teams. Mandiant originally documented a group called UNC3886, which is known for targeting network edge devices. And Signia assessed that FireAnt strongly overlaps with them.
Right, there's a strong connection there.
However, Mandiant explicitly noted there is no technical overlap with other Chinese operations dominating the news right now, like Salt Typhoon or Volt Typhoon.
It's a vital distinction for anyone doing threat modeling right now.
Definitely.
And it's also worth noting that while FireAnt used this router foothold to explore paths into connected high-value environments, including critical infrastructure networks, their activity against those specific critical networks was limited to scanning.
So just connection attempts.
Right. Based on the current intel, there was no confirmed compromise of the critical infrastructure itself.
Okay, good to know. So FireAnt shows how attackers can subvert hardware deep at the network edge. But our next threat uses a very similar philosophy of subversion right on the user screen.
Yeah, moving from the edge to the endpoint.
Exactly. If attackers can't hide inside a router, they will just trick the user into opening the front door for them using tools the user implicitly trusts.
Which brings us to Terminal Fix.
Let's look at Terminal Fix. This is a new variant of the ClickFix campaigns detailed by Microsoft security researchers Sir Gatil, Suriraj Natarajan, and Parashuran Raghavan.
A really interesting campaign.
It compromises legitimate websites to serve up fake Cloudflare CAMPPCA verifications to unsuspecting visitors.
And the evolution here from older campaigns is fascinating.
How so?
Well, the fake CAMPPTCHA prompts the user with a seemingly helpful instruction, asking them to copy a command and paste it into Windows Terminal or PowerShell to verify they are human.
Wait, really? Faking a Cloudflare CAMPPTCHA just to get someone to open PowerShell.
I know, it sounds crazy.
That feels incredibly convoluted and, frankly, like a lot of friction for the victim. My first thought is, why not just use a standard malicious macro in an Excel file like we've seen 1,000 times?
Well, the macro route is effectively dead for mass campaigns because Microsoft blocks them by default now.
Right. Or trick them into using the old Windows Run dialog, which requires way fewer steps.
The run dialogue was easier, sure, but it has severe limitations for the attacker. The run dialogue can easily choke on highly complex multi-stage commands.
It breaks.
Yeah, it truncates long strings and often throws visible errors, which spooks the user. Windows Terminal and PowerShell, on the other hand, are robust, native environments built specifically for administrative heavy lifting.
So they can handle the complex stuff.
Exactly. They can execute massive, heavily obfuscated payloads silently. The attackers are gambling that the extra friction of asking a user to open Terminal is totally worth it.
Because once that command executes, the success rate for the malware goes through the roof without crashing or showing pop-ups.
You got it.
You are tricking the user into weaponizing the most powerful administrative tool on their own machine. And the attack chain that unfolds once they paste that command is wildly complex.
It really is a technical marvel in a bad way.
The PowerShell command reaches out and downloads a ZIP archive. Inside that ZIP is a perfectly legitimate Microsoft-signed binary called lockscreencontentserver.exe.
Completely clean file.
Right. But sitting right next to it in that same folder is a rogue DLL file named Dewey70.dll.
And this is a textbook example of DLL sideloading, which weaponizes Windows' own legacy trust mechanisms.
How did that work under the hood?
So when an application runs, it often needs external libraries, or DLLs, to function,
yes,
right?
Dependencies.
By default, Windows looks for those required DLLs in the exact same folder as the application first.
Oh, I see.
So when the legitimate Microsoft executable runs, it asks for its normal dependencies. Because the attacker slipped that rogue DLL into the same folder, the system blindly trusts it.
And it just loads the malicious code directly into memory under the guise of a signed Microsoft process.
Exactly. But the actual malicious payload isn't even inside that rogue DLL.
Wait, it's not?
No, the DLL is just a loader. It reaches out to external domains, the researchers highlighted domains like bestsocialmedianewspaper.com and offlineupdater.com.
Okay.
And it pulls down what appear to be simple PNG image files to a network defender monitoring traffic. It just looks like a background system process downloading a couple of low-resolution web graphics.
Just normal web traffic. So where's the payload?
The deception continues with steganography.
Ah, hiding in the images.
Yep. Steganography is the practice of hiding secret data within an ordinary non-secret file. In this case, the attackers have altered the least significant bits of the pixel data in those PNG images.
So to the human eye, or even a basic security filter, it's just a picture.
Just a blurry image.
Yeah.
But embedded within those pixels is a highly sophisticated Python script.
Wow.
Once the loader extracts that hidden code, it drops a Python-based reverse tunnel command and control implant on the machine, which the attackers actually call client.py.
And what does client.py actually do once it unpacks itself and starts running on the victim's machine?
It immediately tunnels arbitrary TCP traffic back to the attacker's infrastructure, specifically to a domain called getnow.dev.
Okay, so it calls home.
Right. And it does this using an encrypted WebSocket channel over port 443. Port 443 is the standard port for all secure web traffic, you know.
Right, HTTPS.
Exactly. By tunneling through WebSockets on that specific port, the attacker's command and control traffic becomes indistinguishable from a user browsing secure websites or watching a video stream.
It's a total nightmare for defenders to spot.
It really is. Furthermore, the implant establishes a persistent PowerShell file watch loop.
What's watching?
It continuously monitors a specific hidden text file on the victim's machine. Whenever the attacker pushes a new command through the tunnel into that text file, the script automatically reads it and executes it using the invoke expression cmdelet.
Let's clarify invoke expression for a second because it's a critical piece of this.
Yeah, it's a dangerous one.
Invoke expression is a PowerShell command that takes whatever string of text you feed it and blindly runs it as code. It is incredibly dangerous in the wrong hands because it bypasses many standard script execution policies.
Exactly. The script runs the code, writes the results to an output file, and the tunnel sends it right back to the attacker.
Microsoft explicitly warned that this setup provides attackers with direct interactive access to an organization's internal network, completely bypassing the perimeter firewall.
Terminal fix shows how easily an attacker can bypass endpoint security by tricking a user into opening the door and deploying a camouflage tunnel.
It's wild.
But relying on human error, hoping someone is gullible enough to paste code into PowerShell, is still a gamble for a threat actor, you know?
True. Users are unpredictable.
What if they could bypass the human entirely? No phishing, no passwords, no interaction required whatsoever.
That brings us to the application layer. We've got a critical unfolding situation right now involving Papercut NG and Papercut MF print management software.
Yeah, this one is urgent.
Attackers are currently chaining two vulnerabilities together to execute arbitrary Java code on these servers, completely unauthenticated. And we have to emphasize why this matters to you as a defender.
Papercut is everywhere.
It is ubiquitous. It's in enterprise environments, universities, and government networks everywhere. Print servers require deep hooks into Active Directory and need to communicate with nearly every subnet where a printer resides.
They are highly connected boxes.
Exactly. If an attacker compromises your print management server, they instantly gain a highly privileged central position within your internal network.
And achieving remote code execution without needing a password here relies on a severe logic flaw in how Papercut's web interface handles incoming requests.
So how does the flaw actually work?
Well, an attacker sends a specially crafted HTTP request that is deliberately confusing to the server's routing logic. A web application usually has a front-end authorization filter, right?
Right.
And then a back-end component that actually runs the code. The attacker's request essentially tells the front-end filter, hey, I just want to render this harmless login page.
Okay, so it looks innocent.
Exactly. But buried in the parameters of that same request is a directive pointing to a completely different administrative component.
It's a classic misdirection play, exactly like a bank heist again.
Definitely.
One vulnerability acts as the distraction that walks up to the security guard at the front desk, which is Papercut's authorization check. The guard looks at the request for the harmless login page, decides it doesn't require a password, and waves the traffic through.
Meanwhile, the second vulnerability is the safecracker who has slipped around the back into the vault.
Right. Because a front desk guard already approved the request, the back-end system blindly executes the administrative Java component behind the scenes without ever verifying if the user actually had the right permissions to run it.
The authorization check completely trusts the outer layer of the request and completely misses the malicious payload running underneath.
It just sails right past.
Yeah. And the response to this has been a frantic game of cat and mouse over the last few weeks. Initially, Papercut released an emergency patch to close this loophole.
But that wasn't the end of it.
No. Security researchers at Watchtower tore that patch apart and quickly discovered multiple ways to bypass it. In doing so, they found an entirely new authentication flaw tracked as CVE-2026-82079.
That new flaw is particularly brutal because it allows attackers to edit core configuration files, even on systems that had already applied that first emergency patch.
Without any authentication whatsoever.
Unbelievable.
An attacker could remotely reach out and alter the trusted configuration of the Papercut server. This creates massive friction for defenders.
How so?
Well, if you applied that first patch on a Friday and went home feeling secure, an attacker could have exploited this new flaw on Saturday to silently backdoor your configuration files.
So when Papercut released a second emergency patch for versions 24, 25, and 26, stating it contained, additional hardening defenders couldn't just click update. If you are a defender listening to this, checking your Papercut version number on a dashboard is no longer enough. The dashboard might be lying to you.
We're back to the systems lying to us.
Right. A simple version check doesn't guarantee your system wasn't compromised in the window between patches. You have to assume breach and verify the integrity of the configuration files themselves.
You really have to dig in.
But what is the actual state of these attacks in the wild? What are threat actors doing once they break into these print servers?
Huntress researchers John Hammond and Andrew Brandt have been closely monitoring the exploitation of these flaws.
What are they seeing?
Hammond noted that based on current telemetry, there isn't enough evidence yet to determine the ultimate end goal of these threat actors.
Mm.
We aren't seeing massive ransomware deployments or mass data exfiltration tied directly to this chain just yet.
Hmm. So if they aren't dropping ransomware, what does the activity actually look like?
It is highly consistent with early stage reconnaissance and validation.
Just poking around.
Yeah, once they achieve code execution, the attackers are running very simple, quiet commands. They're querying the system to identify the underlying operating system and figuring out exactly what service account the Papercut software is running under.
They are mapping the territory. They've broken into the vault, but they're just looking around to see what kind of tools they need to bring in for the next phase of the operation.
Exactly. Which means defenders have a very narrow window of opportunity to catch them.
We have to act fast. Huntress and Papercut have published specific indicators of compromise, or IOCs. These are the digital fingerprints of that reconnaissance activity's specific command strings, unexpected child processes spawning from Java.
Those are critical right now.
You need to take those IOCs and proactively hunt through your environment for this behavior today, before the reconnaissance turns into a full-scale deployment.
Absolutely. And, you know, taking a step back and looking at the big picture of what we've discussed today, the overarching synthesis for defenders is profound.
It really ties together.
It does. FireAnt is blinding network edge devices by manipulating log files and filtering administrative output.
Making you blind.
Right. Terminal Fix is tricking users into deploying complex steganographic reverse tunnels that perfectly blend into normal web traffic. And attackers are chaining logic flaws to bypass authentication entirely in ubiquitous enterprise software like Papercut.
The era of blindly trusting your dashboards is over. Attackers are subverting the very systems designed to catch them.
It fundamentally changes how you have to approach incident response and threat hunting.
Yeah, a robust defense now requires you to look for the absences of data just as much as you look for active malware.
That is the key takeaway.
If a GRE tunnel exists, but there's no commit history, that absence of data is your signal. If a router is checking in with its health string but generating zero other telemetry, that silences the alarm bell.
It's a paradigm shift. We are no longer just looking for the needle in the haystack. We have to notice when someone has subtly rearranged the hay.
That's a great way to put it.
And that leads to a critical, forward-looking question about the future of our hardware and network architecture.
Wow.
If edge devices can be manipulated at the kernel level to actively lie to us, and software logs can be suppressed before they ever reach a centralized server, at what point do defenders have to stop relying on software entirely?
That's a scary thought.
Do we need to start demanding out-of-band physical hardware sensors, literal hardware taps on the network lines to establish a single source of truth? If the software monitoring the network is compromised, we might need immutable physical hardware to watch the watchers.
That is a massive, complex problem for the industry to solve as these attacks get deeper into the stack. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the current threat landscape. And until next time, stay vigilant.